Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl episode 55. Cheers.
Cheers.
So this week's episode is about
the title alone makes me laugh more.
This week's episode is about the things that be irritating my soul. That can go from work, life, friendship, dating, pet peeves, ex. We're just gonna get into it, just kind of gives you just like that ick.
All the pet peeves and all the icks.
Yes. Is there any that just randomly come to mind just off the top of your head, like right now?
Oh, I mean, I feel like I can be very irritable, so I probably have a laundry list I could sit here and think of. Pet peeves wise, one of my biggest ones is coughing and sneezing and not covering your mouth. Like when people do that in public, I get so disgusted. And I will literally lift my shirt up over my nose because I'm not about to be breathing in your sneeze particles.
No, that is true. That is aggressive. Especially with like COVID, like remember when like COVID was so heavy?
Yeah.
And people would do that. I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally about to be infected.
Yeah. And like, I was always like, I've never considered myself a germaphobe, but like the way people went out and bought Lysol and hand sanitizer, I'm like, why were y'all not doing this before COVID?
Right.
Like I have hand sanitizer on the inside of my car door in my purse. Yeah. Like, what are you doing after you pump your gas and touch that disgusting ass handle?
Yeah.
Like I just, for me, yeah, I think it got worse after COVID, but like I've always been like that. Like shaking people's hands, I instantly want to wash my hand.
Yeah.
But just because I've just seen too many people leave the bathroom without washing their hands.
Oh my God. Let's talk about it.
You know, and it's just like everybody is touching their phone constantly. And like I Clorox wipe my phone down often.
You said that.
But like, because it's like you're touching everything and then touching your phone. You're going to the gym and you're touching your phone. Like I just, and then people shake your hand. I just, no. That's one of my things.
I think a funny pet peeve of mine that just gives me the ick is honestly when people are just having random conversation with me and it's just like they're telling me stories where it's like, no offense, why do you think I care about this? Like it's those random ass stories where it's kind of like, keep that conversation in your phone with that person. Like, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know anything. Like there's certain things where I just feel like people sometimes, like we say, they just talk to hear their voice and hear themselves talk. And it's like, I actually rather it just be dead silent than you making random small talk with me. That's no offense, not funny. It's not amusing. I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm just sitting there waiting for you to finish the story. Because it's like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm big on use and choose your words wisely when you're storytelling. Because you also lose people quickly. So it's like you have to really reel me in.
Yeah.
Hit me with the, you know, hit
there
me with the.
There has to be a punchline.
Come on. Like, and then like when you're telling me the story, give me a little something. Like, get into character. I want to feel like I'm there.
I want to hear all the accents.
Hello.
The twangs and everybody's voices. Like, I need the context of the tone.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think, speaking of conversations, I think another one for me is people that, I get people are morning people. So if you want to be talkative in the morning, I'm not going to go as far as to say that that's a pet peeve, but people that are just loud.
Oh yeah.
In the morning, I'm like, please lower your voice. Like I'm still waking up and maybe it's because I don't drink coffee. Maybe that's what it is, you know, but like people that just want to just have so much conversation first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
For me, no, thank you. I'll talk to you at like 11.
No, that's true. Cause Blake will be up, but she'll be dead silent. Like, and there's times where, you know, we've traveled together and she's been up for probably hours and I wouldn't even know cause she was so quiet.
Yeah.
But I love that about you because I have those friends where it's like, oh no, they're going to make their presence known that they're up. Like they're scrolling on TikTok super loud. They're literally chuckling. They're starting to get on the phone with other people. It's like, do you not see me like just trying to chill out?
No. Because if I do get on the phone, like I think the last trip we took, I just left the room. I mean, I was sitting in the hallway in my pajamas, but to me, that's just respectful. Like, cause yes. Because if I'm still sleeping and somebody's on the phone, I'm going to be irritated.
Yeah. It's like some of those things, but oh yeah. My God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also wonder if it's the only child thing, Blake, cause we're not used to just loud ruckus in the morning. Like, you know, when you go to your friend's house with other siblings, like I'm just used to me being the chaos in the room.
That's actually a valid point. And I feel like maybe that's also why maybe I can be moody or irritable is because, yeah, my social battery just drains because I definitely spend a lot of time and have like by myself. And so, yeah, that's why I get burnt out on group trips. And it's like I'll be with the people that I love the most, but I just, and I'm learning this more and more about myself as I get older, is I just really, it doesn't matter if it's my favorite people on earth. The only way for me to really feel like I'm back to myself is just spending time by myself. Like, even if it's a couple hours, mm-hmm. it's just, I just need that time to reset, you know?
And that's fair.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how else do you charge your battery? You know what I mean? Unless you are by yourself. Like, I don't know how people, but there are people obviously that are, they get their battery charged from being with other people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I kind of need to be alone in order to kind of like recharge myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the exact opposite of that. Like, I have friends like that where it's like, they love having people around mm-hmm. all the time. And I'm not like that at all. I like to have people over and host and be very hospitable.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the night, I'm like, that was fun. And I'm happy everyone left, you know? So, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I think another one we were talking about the other day was holding the door for people and they don't say thank you.
Oh my God. Yes. Let's talk about it.
Very rude.
Very so rude.
Listen, if it's a crowd and, you know, you're going to have to bump around to try and get through, that's fine. But when people just do not say, excuse me, that bothers me. Like, full blown bumping me with your bag and just not saying, excuse me, is that's one. And another one for me is people that do not just like the greatest thing about COVID was social distancing. Like, stay 6 feet away. Why are you on top of me in line?
Yeah.
Because whether you are here or 3 feet behind me, your place in line is secured.
Right.
And you're not going to check out any faster by breathing down my neck.
No, seriously.
That is one that literally irks me.
Oh my gosh. I think one, and I don't know why I'm randomly thinking of it, when I was in my clubbing era and being in random people sections, the courtesy of like when you go to a section and the other girls in the section are just giving you the stink face, it's like, can we all be cool? Like, can we just be cool? Because it makes it so awkward and there's so much tension and energy in this section where it's like, obviously most of the time, 9 times out of 10, the dudes are in their own world. So us as girls, like, let's pass the hookah. Let's share the bottle. Like, let's not act weird. Like, I used to hate that shit so much where it's like, you know what? Honestly, these random girls just ruined the night. I'm just going to leave. Like, I don't feel welcomed, even though it's not your section. It hits his.
Well, right. And that's where it's like, I'm sorry. Is your credit card with the bottle girl right now? Because why are you so pressed? Mm-hmm. It's so weird. Ugh. Yeah, that's one thing I don't miss about club culture.
Yeah, we can go on and on about that.
We're tired from that life.
So let's just talk about what are those everyday things that just, like we said, give you the egg. What type of person just instantly irritates your spirit?
I think there is a very, very, very distinct difference. But there is people that are very happy-go-lucky, bubbly, and personable naturally. Mm-hmm. And people where it's very clear that they're trying too hard to be like that. And those kind of people, they make me feel uncomfortable because I'm just not like that. I'm not like, hi! Like, I'm not like that. But something in my soul feels comfortable around the people that are naturally like that. And I get immediately disturbed by the people that you can tell they're trying too hard to be liked.
Yeah.
And it comes off very fake. And that's, I don't know what it is. It's just a gut feeling. Like, I couldn't tell you what the distinct factor is, but you just know when someone's trying too hard to get you to like them. And maybe because it's just the opposite of my personality. Like, I just want for us to be in the same room, have casual right. conversation, and it, you build, if it is a friendship, you build it naturally and that's it. But people that just overly try too hard or ask too many questions immediately, mm-hmm. it's like, calm down. I don't know you like that.
Yeah. No, it's true, because it definitely, it's like a lot of times, like, you can see right through it. It's kind of like, you're literally putting on a whole show right now. This is not even who you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're only really fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you yeah. can see right through that stuff a lot of times. Like, those people are so fake nice. It's crazy. It's like, girl, be so for real.
I think another one, too, is men that are like that. Men that want to be the center of attention give me the ick.
Yes.
All the time. And that's not, I'm not talking about just someone who's, you know, nice, outgoing, personable. Like, there's a difference where you can tell somebody is actually overcompensating because they're insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like that. But like a man that's just overly trying to make his presence known, you're overcompensating for something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just, and I'm not just throwing that out. It's a pattern and I've seen it in my own dating experiences, right? Because I am more reserved. I've had the tendency to be attracted to people who are more outgoing than I am. But what I've seen is, yeah, they're wanting to be the center of attention because they're seeking validation externally and from other people. And it comes from an insecure place. And so that's where it can be a turnoff.
No,
I'm like,
real.
Oh, I clock your tea because unfortunately yeah. I've dealt with this right. already.
You know, seriously.
Yeah.
I think I used to date similar guys like that, where it's kind of like when we go out, they are kind of, they have a certain, like, they are the show. Like, they're very much more outgoing than I am. Because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm an outgoing person, but honestly, naturally, not really. Like, I'm more of just like chill.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would date guys like that because I'm like, oh, I think it'll get me more out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it is. And it's very interesting because it's kind of like all about them. It's like they're prima donna. And it's like, don't let them have a bad day because, my God, like, just cancel the day.
Yeah.
Cancel the fucking day. Like, the attitudes are insane. The attitudes are crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that is it's like, control your emotions, please. And thank you.
Yeah. And I think another thing I've noticed too, especially with club culture, is the men that want to be outside every weekend and buying sections, and then you're inviting random girls in your section. Like, a lot of that is actually a lot of times, which I feel like people don't talk about, because it's like, oh, you got girls in your section. Oh, you're just trying to get bitches. Like, and that very well may be true. But I feel like there's such an underlying layer that doesn't get talked about how they're actually doing that to impress other men.
Come on.
And the more and more you see, it's just, and think about it, like, think about it with so bottle true. Wars.
Yeah.
It's like, what are y'all doing? You're literally in competition trying to impress other men.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're so right. And it truly is.
And it's, I don't know. I feel like when you're younger, it's like, oh, he got money. Like, mm-hmm. he was spending bottles on bottles yeah. on bottles. But as you get older, it's like, one, this is the stupidest financial decision you're making.
Man.
And number two, it's like, who are you trying to impress?
Yeah.
Other men? And why?
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
You know, and then they order the bottles and, you know, they stand in there trying to look all cool, like, oh, yeah, with their sunglasses on in the club.
And on their phone, like, they're busy making business moves. No, you're so right. It is like that. And we see it firsthand all the time, right? Living in Houston, it's like, oh, you see bottles coming out. Then you see something, it's like, oh, shit. They popping 342s, bet. I'm gonna pop an ace. Like, it's like they just try to one out and outdo each other.
Right.
Meanwhile, and it's so easy to get them. It's like,
exactly.
Who can have the biggest bottle presentation show? Right. Like, they're like, oh, you can bring a girl out on a boat, bring her out.
Right. And meanwhile, It's like neither of y'all are winning. The club owner is the one that's winning because he just got you to pay racks for a bottle that costs $100. Congratulations.
Like, no, it is crazy. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other pet peeves that get on my nerves.
Ashy ankles.
What? Yeah. You know how, listen, things are getting chilly now. Sometimes some people gonna be slipping.
You know how men have those like cropped pants? Like, put some lotion on your ankles, please. Love the look. No, because you know what?
You like the cropped look.
You know, if it's done right.
I mean, yes, right. If I just don't like the bedazzles.
No, that's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. I personally am not into skinny jeans, ripped jeans. Why does your shirt have rhinestones all over it? Yeah. Me personally, if that's what you like, do you. But I don't mind the little crop tailored pant.
Yes.
Just put some lotion on your ankles.
Damn, I don't think I've caught someone slipping with like the ashy ankle with a crop like tailored pant. Like, that's actually kind of insane.
I don't know. I just randomly thought of that.
Oh my goodness. I think for me, there's like the pet peeve of when you go out with a friend and maybe they're around some of their other friends and it kind of comes down to maybe paying the tab, or when it comes to splitting the bill, it kind of like, it's everything's fine and dandy until the bill comes. Mm-hmm. And people start to get weird. The energy starts to shift. And it's like, damn, we can't just be grown and just bust it down. Mm-hmm. Or if you're eating with a group of people, like, let's not order a bunch of extra things if that's not what the group typically does. That way, when it comes down to just getting the bill, let's just split it and go. Like, I hate the whole breaking it down, pulling out the phones for the calculator. It's just embarrassing because it's like, it can literally turn a night from being so good to shit so fast as soon as that bill comes.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, it used to be there's just certain people you can't travel with, you can't go on vacation with. But sadly, I feel like there's just certain people you don't go out to eat with.
No.
If you're not on the same page about that type of stuff personally, but especially having mixy dinners.
Yeah.
And mixy birthday dinners. Like, if you have one group of friends and another group of friends and another group of friends, and they don't all operate the same way, like, unless you're fronting the bill and gonna let everybody pay you back, it just gets too complicated.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like I've seen too many mixy birthday situations where, no, it's just like, the smaller the group, the better, where everybody can just be on the same page.
No, exactly. Because let's be honest, when we go out, even though people don't want to admit it, they definitely have different dining etiquette. Mm-hmm. Like, people just do based on the type of food they're into, the vibes, the price point, etc. And even the taste of food and like what type of food they're interested in, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I agree. I think you have to be very cautious of who you kind of go out with, especially when it's on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was laughing when we went to... Laughing to myself when we went to Chicago for my birthday and one of our other friends came from Detroit and the bill came and she was like, oh, so like, how do you guys do this? And we're all like, girl, do we just throw our card down? Like, she was like, okay, good. Like, thank God.
Yes.
She was like, you know how different groups can be, like, and it was we were just like, well, yeah, we're not one of those groups. And she was like, okay, good. Love that.
No, but it made me laugh that she said that because it's so true. Like, yeah. There's other groups where I'm around. It's kind of like, I already know exactly how this is going to go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's really good to like know your audience and knowing like what you can and just can't put up with. But that's why I'm very iffy on the just girl dinners now.
Yeah.
Depending on like who's there, the vibe. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, I'm not doing all that. Like, we're not going to come to this nice restaurant and show our ass. Because typically these are places I go back to. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, I refuse to be like the laugh of the night.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is annoying because a lot of times when you do go to these nice places, you might be the only table of color.
Come on.
And you do not want to be the stereotype in that moment.
Yeah. No, exactly. So. It's like, dang.
Yeah.
What's that text message response that just gives you the ick? Maybe it's like, hey, you good? WYD.
Oh, I've said this before, that WYD annoys me. Where when you're texting a man, getting to know him, and the constant, what are you doing, every 5 seconds is annoying. I feel like for me, a lot of the ick is just my distaste towards men half the time. It's even sometimes good morning, beautiful. It's like, shut the fuck up. Grand rising queen.
No, because what's up is like, okay. I think another ick, I think when it comes to that, the texting and stuff, it's kind of like, but I already told you that. You're acting like I didn't tell you that. Like, that annoys me because it's like, you're not remembering. You're not paying attention to detail. Like, do you not like me or something? Like, it's, I don't know. It's weird. It's like, why aren't you remembering these things?
And I think that's why the concept of WYD annoys me, because it's like, if I told you what my plans are for the day,
yes,
and like, oh, I'm doing X, Y, and Z this afternoon, and then you're saying, what are you doing? I told you what I'm going to be doing.
Right.
So you're not paying attention. And I think that, yes, thank you for saying that, because that is why it's annoying. But also, like, if you got time to say, what are you doing every 5 seconds? What are you doing?
No, for
real. Go clock in. No, go do something.
No, for real. No, for real. Because why are you just on your phone this much?
Right.
But that's another thing now. It's like, I actually, and we've talked about this before, before too, I think at this point in stage in life, I don't want to text you all day. As much as I want to talk to you and see you and be around you, I do not need to text you all day. Like, what do we have to talk about all day long? I don't want to feel like, and it's funny, I remember the days where I wanted to constantly text.
Same.
Now it's like, texting is a job. Texting is draining. Texting is exhausting. Like, I do it if I have to, but honestly, I'd rather just see a face-to-face.
Yeah, I agree. There was definitely, I feel like, a pivot when I was younger and probably less mature, where it's like, you're taking hours to text back, fuck off.
Yeah. You know?
But now I'm like, I don't have time to be texting you all day, nor do I have the desire to. And at a certain point, like, texting gets dry, and it's just better to, like, maybe have a, you know, appreciate a good morning text.
Of course, always.
Appreciate a check-in throughout the day.
Yes.
Hope you're having a good day, whatever. But then let's connect at the end of the day over the phone, FaceTime, whatever. Because, yeah, are you employed? Why do you have time to be texting all day?
No, exactly. It's definitely one of those things. And I think another ick is just being on those big group chats, especially when it comes to birthdays. I just hate the big ass group chats and all these random people and all these random conversations. Like, I don't know. I don't even have a quarter of these numbers saved in my phone. Like, please, I do not want to be in these big mass group text messages if it's not for a dire need.
And I'm not going to lie, if you put me in a group chat with 20 people, it will be muted.
Immediately. Immediately.
Sorry. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't have time when I'm working, when I'm in a meeting, for my phone to be buzzing every 5 seconds.
Yes.
You will be muted. And I'll review at the end of the day and respond to what I need to respond to. But absolutely not.
No, exactly. Those kill me. I'm like, I literally cannot. Like, do you guys not have anything else to do? What's your biggest corporate or coworker pet peeve?
Snitches. And speaking of group chats, if you say something in a group chat on Teams, Slack, whatever people use, that you could have just wrote to me on the side and you put me on blast in a whole Teams chat, oh no, you're officially my corporate op. Because you could have just wrote me on the side and be like, hey, by the way, like, this is wrong, or this happened, or oh, can you fix this? No, you decided to put me on blast in a chat with the whole team, a chat that includes my boss.
Yeah.
You're an op.
I hate the ones where it's like always feeling the need to CC their boss and your boss in the same conversation when it comes to every single piece of communication, whether it's on, like you said, on Teams or on email, where it's like, why do you feel like you have to include everyone on the chain? Unless it's an urgent thing or something that's very serious. But it's like, sometimes it's kind of like, I hate that, because it's feel, they can't wait for that moment to be like, well, Ashlyn, it's like, that's so annoying.
Yeah.
Like, you're being so childish for that. But yeah, I'm not really big on throwing people under the bus unless I really have to, or you always come for me.
Right.
Because I'm like, come on, we're all grown. We all make mistakes here and there, but there's no need to throw someone under the bus every time they make a mistake, especially in front of their supervisor or manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Also, another one is if there is like a company-wide email sent out, why are you replying all? I hate when people do that.
Yeah.
Like it could be like a new hire announcement or something. And it's like, oh, welcome. Can't wait to work. Write them on the side.
Right.
Why are you adding yet another email to my inbox? Why are you replying all to anything? That's a corporate pet peeve too.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the thank you emails. Like, please send a thank you on the side.
Right.
The people in meetings where it's kind of like, they just have to be heard. Mm-hmm. And what they're saying is kind of like, that was already said. Or what you're saying is incorrect. Or it's like, if you actually tuned into the conversation and you couldn't wait to say your one bullet point, you would have actually, you already missed it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just hate the know-it-alls in the meetings where it's like, they just have to get their point across and say something where it's like, okay, thank you.
Yeah. When you have a separate conversation with somebody and then they show up in a meeting with your thoughts and ideas and just regurgitate them. And it's like, okay, I already said that. Yeah. Like, go off.
Exactly. No, that is so annoying. Have you ever had a friend who loves to one-up your experiences?
Oh, not one-up. But I do have a friend where sometimes maybe she's not very good at reading the room. Where, like, I could be really upset about something that's traumatic, something that's very, like, you know, deeply hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can show her grace because it's her way of trying to resonate.
Uh-huh.
But the comparison is just, like, not there. It's like saying, oh, my God, I got shot in the arm yesterday. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I stubbed my toe. Like, I know exactly how you feel. It's like, no, you don't. It's like that type of...
Okay, yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, it's not a one-up.
Yeah.
But it's like, I see what you're doing. You're trying to relate. But the things aren't the same.
Yeah.
And you know what? I will just be real right now and tell what the actual context was. Because it's very vulnerable, but I'm sure many people can relate. I was talking about how I was making a trip to New York. Mm-hmm. And my family is in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I go to New York, I try to take the train up to Connecticut to see my family because it's the right thing, you know, the right thing to do. And obviously, like, family is everything and is important. And so on this particular trip, my dad basically said he wasn't really going to have time to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurt my feelings because I'm like, I'm taking planes, trains, and automobiles to try and, like, see everybody and do everything and make it work. And like, the fuck do you mean you don't have time? I'm your only daughter, you know? And so I was like telling that to my friends, and my friend proceeds to talk about how since her parents have been divorced, her dad's been like dating another woman and he's like been weird about it. And I'm like, you have had your dad in your life your whole life consistently. Mm. You grew up in a two-parent household. Your parents got divorced when you were an adult. Shut up. Like...
Because I'm over here like...
Like, you're comparing my dad being in and out of my life and to being transparent. He was in and out of jail. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't necessarily have the best relationship. Like, it's gotten better as I've gotten older. But, like, the struggle for me as an adult is that I feel like if I don't put in the effort, it's just not there. And, you know, he's never come to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so... us spending any time together is going to be on me when I go to Connecticut or to New York. And it's like, you're comparing that to your dad being less available because he got a girlfriend.
Right. Like what? That's totally different.
It is. And so get what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You're trying to relate. Miss the mark.
Yeah. And people do that. And I think there's times where I've been in conversations with people and my heart breaks for what they're saying, but it's like, I know there's something right now that I can give them to make them feel better besides just being like, I'm here from you and I try to comfort them, but it's like, I don't try to hit them back with what I think a story that would somewhat resonate or equate to what they just shared with me. Like, you just have to know when it's time to share and when it's not.
Yeah.
Like,
read the room.
Please. I think that, yeah, but yeah, not everyone knows how to read the room. And I'm like, Huh?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I can think of, like, off the top of my head of a friend trying to one-up my experience, but I do think of, when it comes to certain experiences, certain friends may try to over-ask questions about that experience, like kind of wanting too much detail, like the how, what, when, where, why, price, breakdown. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, okay, now you're asking too much information. I think that's kind of where there's certain times where I think let a person share what they want to share, but there's times where people can ask too many questions to where it's like, no offense if I didn't say that, maybe that's not a part I want to bring up or talk about. You know what I mean? So I think it's important to know kind of when to not overstep whatever someone's sharing with you.
Yeah, just listen. Because sometimes that's all people need.
Yeah.
Is a listening ear.
No, exactly. And it's like, hey, if I tell you, I tell you. But some stuff I'm like, now you're kind of being nosy. And I wish I never said nothing.
I feel like I have some other germophobias. Oh, I know two of my germophobias off the top of my head is hotels and me Clorox wiping and Lysoling everything down when I first get there. And I hate when hotels have the little throw quilts and the throw pillows on the bed because you're definitely not washing those.
That's true.
I literally immediately throw those on the floor. Because, ew.
That is true.
That's one. And I always, like, wipe down the remote, like, you know, all of the surfaces. Mm-hmm. Another thing, and sorry if you do this, is when people are packing and they put their dirty-ass suitcase on their bed.
Oh, yeah. That is crazy.
That was dragged through the airport bathroom. That was underneath the plane, underneath the bus, in the overhead compartment. Dragged all through the airport, through dirty ash streets. And you're going to put that on your bed where you lay your head at night while you're packing? No, that's another one for me.
No, yeah, no, I do not do that. I think it's insane because I'm like, that's so fucking dirty.
Yeah. And I get I'm excessive. Like, I literally Lysol the inside and outside of my suitcase before I put it away after I unpack. Because of that, like, I literally will Lysol the wheels, which is excessive. I'm not saying everybody needs to do that. Hey. Because, like, I think about it, I go to New York all the time. Yeah, like, I'm rolling my suitcase through dirty New York City streets. Yeah. Like, but yeah, that. And then speaking of beds, outside clothes on the bed. Do not sit on my bed. My God, do not get in my bed with your outside clothes. I don't care. If you sat in your car for 2 seconds to come over, okay, you sat in your car where you typically wear your outside clothes.
Right.
I don't care.
Your dirty gym clothes.
Nope. Yeah.
I was outside all day. It was hot clothes. No, I'm the same way. Like, I have cussed so many friends and, you know, guys in the past I've dated about that stuff. Like, and that's the audacity for someone to not only think that they could sit on the top of your bed, to think you could get your ass in my bed with your outside clothes as I may be still getting ready or something is crazy. Yeah. Like, are you insane?
Yeah, no.
And it's, they're like, well, where else do you want me to sit? I don't know, maybe on the fucking floor. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, it's crazy to me. So I think that's one of my biggest pet peeves. Like,
yeah.
I immediately pull off my sheets. I'm disgusted.
Same.
Like, because you can feel the difference when you get in your bed where it's like, no, it doesn't feel as clean.
Yep.
So it's so funny that you bring that up.
Yep. That and walking around with your shoes on in the house. No, I try not to do that.
Yeah,
I don't like to, but I also, again, this is a thing that I don't think everybody has to do, but I will literally like Lysol the bottom of my shoes before I put them away. But again, that's something I picked up from living in New York.
Yeah.
Working around the city and then coming home, like I clean the bottom of my shoes just because I'm not walking around New York City and then coming in my house and walking around the inside of my, you're bringing all those germs and whatever in. So yeah, I'm not saying that everybody needs to do that. I'm just saying, though, that's my little particular thing that I do. But it's, a lot of that I feel like I developed. And honestly, a lot of my, I feel like, germophobeness just came from working and living in New York and taking public transportation and all of that. That's why I always have, like, hand sanitizer and wet ones and all of that on me. Just, Yeah. When you're like constantly around people in close quarters like yeah. that, it's just like, no.
Yeah. No, I believe it. I mean, obviously, you know me. I think being, you know, born and raised on the West Coast, let's be honest, public transportation for me gives me the ick.
Yeah.
Because it's so dirty. It's so close. It's compacted. Like, I'd rather Uber. I'd rather have a car. It's just, that's what I'm saying. I don't think I could have ever done the East Coast living just because I don't like to be that close to other random people.
You would have got used to it.
I don't know. Like, it just, I just don't like it.
If you would have went to college in New York, you would have eventually got used to it. It's just the easiest way to get around.
No, I didn't get that. I just don't like the smell. I just don't like all that stuff. But yeah.
No, I will say, like, I obviously went to college there. I lived there for 8 years. I grew up going to New York. And, like, my mom, we used to take the train down from Connecticut, whatever. But now that I've been in Houston-ish, whatever, for 5 years, going back, I don't have an issue taking the train. But there's was, like, rush hour times where the platform was packed, the cars were packed, and I was like, I don't miss this. And I now can't or would rather not go back now to that way of living. Like, I did it before. And honestly, again, like, this is what we were talking about the last episode of, like, how far you've come. I'm like, damn, I really used to do this every day. Commute to work on the subway an hour and a half and deal with packed trains. And my fucking nose is next to somebody's stinky ass armpit.
Yeah.
And... yeah. And I was like, oh, thank God I don't have to live like this anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really not that bad.
And it's like you said, it was a season in your life. And I feel like you learned so much through that, right?
Yeah.
So that's all. I think it's like all that matters when it comes to that. What's something people do on social media that just gives you secondhand embarrassment?
Oh, I can instantly tell you that because I was just talking about this with my friend. She was like, could you ever see yourself crying on social media?
For likes, views, engagement.
And I said, listen, if somebody gets on their live and they're emotional and they're crying, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But recording yourself crying and then watching it back, editing it down, and then hitting post to me is a completely different story. Like, I would laugh at myself editing a video of me crying personally. Like, I don't understand people uploading videos of themselves crying, but that's just me.
I think that is a funny one, is because it's like, oh, like sometimes I'm like, oh wow, they're actually serious. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think that takes a different level of a person to do that, because I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
And then you see a crying video and then it just kind of goes back to just like them dancing on TikTok or, you know, making day in the life with me videos. It's like, okay, so we had a mini breakdown. We got some more views, engagement. Now we're back to just the regular old content. I don't know. Sometimes I think people like strategically post that type of stuff to quote unquote relate.
And I think another one on social media is the influencers that get called out for using the N-word like back in eighth grade. And then they post an apology video. And then 5 minutes later is a get ready with me. Like, you didn't even let the apology marinate for saying the N-word.
Yeah, come on.
And you're already like, get ready with me to go horseback riding. Yeah. Like, okay. So was the apology genuine? Or was like, you were just checking off a box. Like, oh, all right, let me get this apology out the way to shut these people up.
But like, so I can get my other content out here.
Yeah. Even if you don't mean it, just let it marinate.
No, exactly. I totally agree with that. I think another thing, I mean, I don't think it gets any more just straight to the point than this. It's just when women are dumb behind men on social media and posting it.
Dumb. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's certain things that they do and it's like, why would you post that? Why would you do that? Or why would you continue to put yourself through that? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. There's just certain things that I see out there where I'm just kind of like, the one I was just talking to you about recently, like, seeing Mariah the Scientist sing Cater to You to Young Thug on her birthday.
That like, was so hard to watch.
Why?
That was so hard to watch. I'm not going to lie.
Why? First of all, it's your day.
Yeah.
Second of all, he literally has publicly embarrassed you for the last umpteen months, years. And it's like, why?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That was really hard to watch. Just because her music is really blowing up right now.
Yes.
She's really growing in her, I don't even want to say at the height of her career because she still has so much more potential.
Yes.
But she's really like, you know, on the charts right now, all of that. And to have a man embarrass you and to be centering him on your birthday, it honestly was just very sad to watch because she's beautiful. She's talented. Yeah. She has a bright future ahead of her. And this man just got out of jail and was talking about how he was still fucking in jail.
Yeah.
And whatever, having sex with the prison guards and that he cheats on her and she loves him too much. And you're singing Cater to You on your own birthday. Where is he?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, he needs to be singing that song to you on your birthday. Like, I don't know. That was super insane to me to watch. But yeah, I see too many things like that where I'm like, y'all, come on. Mm-hmm. And I love to see the comments of the girlies now waking up. And they're just like, are you kidding me right now? You know what I mean? I'm glad women are no longer being like, oh my God, I love it here. No, girls are like, Mariah, stand up. You know what I mean? And I love that because it's like a lot of us are just, we're tired of that type of stuff because we've been there, done that with men. And it's kind of like, no, if he's not going to respect you and value you, then bye.
Yeah.
Find another.
Yeah. And she definitely deserves
more than that. So much more. And she's like so pretty and stuff, like we were saying. Have you ever been triggered by something random that you didn't realize was deep?
The only thing I can think of, and it's not deep, and maybe there is a deeper rooted reason, but it really bothers me people that are constantly chronically late. Because I think it's such a disrespect of other people's time.
Yeah.
And I hate when it's like, there's other things I could have been doing. Like I put off something else to make sure I was here on time. And if you're going to be 30, 45, an hour, 90 minutes late, do you know how much I could have done in 90 minutes?
Come on.
And I don't think it should be as irritating as it is to me. And that's why I'm saying maybe it is something deeper rooted. I just don't know what that is. But I just find it very, very disrespectful.
It's very rude. And I think the older I get, the more it annoys me because our schedules do become busier over time. So it's like the audacity of you to not make it on time to this thing. Little do you know, you show up and it's like, well, you just took out 30 minutes of my 2-hour block I had with you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, and I have to leave early because first of all, I expect you to get here at 6:00. And it's like, you don't even consider the fact that maybe I have other things to do after this. Or like you said, I could have been doing other things productively and move things around to be here for you. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm big on that too. Like there's times I've had to tell certain people like, hey, I will not hang out with you until you honestly can make it on time. Yeah. Or you text me when you leave your house, but I'm not going to sit there and be on time for someone that's always late.
Yep.
No.
Agreed. And that goes for the hairstylist too. With the
oh,
hey boo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you know what? And sometimes I don't even mind if you're running an hour late. That's fine. Just tell me, because I would rather sit at home than sit in your salon waiting or sit outside your salon door waiting for an hour, because I can accomplish a lot in an hour at home.
Exactly. I think another thing that annoys me too is the people that like always have to bring a plus one to something that you invite them to. And it's kind of like, well, if I invited you, I invited you. I didn't invite this random plus one you're trying to bring. Mm. So I don't like people that always try to bring an extra person to the dinner, the event, the party, the hangout. It's kind of like, no offense if they weren't on the invite list, why are you inviting them? And it's so hard to tell someone, no, you can't bring that person. There's times where you can say, but there's times where it's like, okay, then it makes you kind of look like, well, damn, what's the big deal? So
yeah.
I just don't like certain people like that, that'll just constantly bring randoms or, you know, you may be out and random people just pop up and it's like, oh, hey, Tracy. And it's like, how the hell did Tracy know we were here? And it's like, oh yeah, she was just texting me and I told her we were at so-and-so. So she just was in the area and was like, I told her, pull up. I didn't think you would mind. It's like, well, you didn't even say. I thought we were just like going to hang out, me and you.
Bro. Alrighty. Well, hope you enjoyed us going on rants about our icks and pet peeves. Let us know if you can relate to any of them. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.